All right, well, we are in Hebrews chapter 11. And the topic of our series within a series is, what is faith? Because what's the main topic of Hebrews chapter 11? Faith, right? And for us as believers, you know, I've decided to slow down in chapter 11 because faith's pretty important, isn't it? I mean, the Bible says clearly that we are saved by His grace through faith. And if we're saved by faith, I think it's pretty important for us to understand what faith is. And you know what I love about the Bible? Many things, but one of the things I love about the Bible is faith is not defined in a philosophical, theoretical sense, but the way that faith is defined in this chapter and the way that faith is defined in the Bible is through lives. And really, it's not really important that you have an exact, correct philosophical understanding of faith. What's important is your life, right? Are you living a life of faith? And so we talked about the one sentence definition of faith in verse 1, but really almost all of Hebrews 11 is about faith as it's demonstrated in life. Last week we looked at faith in the life of Abel, faith in the life of Enoch. This morning, as you can see on the screen, we're going to look at faith in the life of Noah. And as I've been studying this chapter, I've seen that each and every one of these characters exhibits by their life an aspect of faith, what faith is and what faith looks like in our lives today. And as we're studying through this chapter, the question for you and for me is, am I also living out this aspect of faith in my life today? And I wanted to go through more than just one verse this morning, but as I was preparing, there's several themes in this one verse, Hebrews verse chapter 11, verse 7. This one verse on Noah, there's several themes that are related to faith that are profound, that relate directly to our lives and what faith looks like in our lives today. I found four different themes, aspects of faith mentioned here in the life of Noah that relate to faith in our lives today. So let's read our text, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. It says, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." Our verse is about the faith of Noah, and it's not surprising that the focus here is on the ark, because really that's all we know about Noah in the Genesis account, right? So that's the main event of Noah's life, is that he built the ark. And the first thing that the author mentions about faith is that faith, by definition, has to do with the unseen. That's what Scott mentioned at the beginning of this service. We read 1 Peter 1. It says, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen." Noah's faith began with a word from God to Noah, a warning. Noah, judgment is coming. A flood is coming that's going to destroy the world as you know it. And Noah had a choice when he heard the word of God warning him of what was to come. He could choose to disregard it and say, you know, as I look around, it doesn't look like the world's going to be destroyed. I don't see the river, the floodwaters rising. The world looks just as it always has been. I think I'm just going to enjoy my life as usual. Or he could say, you know, God has spoken this word to me, and I am going to believe it. And the first aspect of faith that we see in our text is that faith responds to the unseen. Faith begins by responding in our lives to the unseen. And notice here again, the author picks up, he uses the language of the unseen. Do you remember what the author's definition of faith is? What's the author's definition of faith in Hebrews 11:1? Faith is what? The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And all throughout this chapter, as we'll see, this theme is explained, mentioned over and over again in Hebrews 11. Faith doesn't have to do with the things that are seen, that are visible, that are tangible. Faith is belief, is a persuasion, a conviction of the things that are not seen. You know, what's interesting is that we today, although we live thousands of years after Noah, and our world today is totally different than Noah's world was, yet we today have the same choice. Each and every one of us face the same decision that Noah faced thousands of years ago. Jesus talked about this in his message on the end times, the Olivet Discourse, in Matthew 24, verses 37 to 39. He says, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." Jesus is drawing a parallel between those ancient days of Noah before the flood and our time, our day today. And it's a good parallel, isn't it? When the people of Noah, as they looked around, they said, "Noah, you're crazy. There's no evidence of a flood. I don't see any indication that this world is going to be destroyed." And when we look around today, what's the word of God to us today? What has God promised us? You know that every one of the 27 books of the New Testament tell us that Jesus is coming again, right? As Christians, we have a foundational belief that one day Jesus will return and that this world that as we know it is going to be destroyed and that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and that if we live our lives by faith in the unseen, that we too will inherit, will be citizens of this new kingdom, of this new world. So Noah had a choice, and the people of Noah's day, they all had a choice. Am I going to live my life based on the scene, the visible reality around me? Everything looks fine. It looks like it always has been. Doesn't look like a flood is coming. Doesn't look like destruction is coming. But Noah chose to live by the unseen. And that's what faith is, choosing to respond to, place our faith in, not the visible reality that we see around us, but choosing to live our lives according to the unseen reality which God has promised to us. And the unseen is the word of God. That's what Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, that by faith we understand that this world which we see, the material physical world that we see, was created by the invisible word of God. The things that are made were made of the things, were created from the things which are invisible. By God's word, he made this world that we live in. And by God's word, he has promised us that this world that we live in now will one day end and a new world will begin. Will you choose to live your life according to the physical reality that you see around, or to live your life according to the unseen word of God, his promises? The second aspect of Noah's faith that I see here is, you know, Charles mentioned in his offering, when he did the offering, he said, you know, biblical faith is not just intellectual, right? It's not just an intellectual assent. He said, even the devil believes in God, but his faith doesn't result in any kind of fruit, any kind of obedience in his life. Notice that Noah's faith was not just intellectual, but it resulted in action. It says, "By faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household." The action of faith, when you read Hebrews 11, every time they mention a person, there's an action of faith. And that reminds us, of course, that faith without works is dead. Have you ever been confused when you read, you know, Romans, and we're saved by faith, and you read James, and James says, well, faith without works is dead, and even Martin Luther said, well, they contradict each other. Well, they don't, right? They were focusing on different aspects, right? Paul is talking about salvation. How are we saved? I'm not saved by my performance. There's no amount of good works I can do to be saved. What James is focused on is the character of faith, that we don't believe in easy believism. Oh, I believe, I believe, I believe. He's saying that true faith manifests itself through actions in my life. Jesus did say, by their fruits you will know them, right? The good tree bears good fruits, the bad tree bears bad fruits. So they're not contradicting each other. They're focusing on different aspects. Paul's talking about how we are saved, not by our works, but by our faith. James is saying, however, true faith will manifest itself, the fruit of true faith always manifests itself in actions. And so when you study Hebrews 11, we're looking at the actions of faith, how the faith of these people of old was demonstrated in their lives. And of course, Noah's faith was demonstrated by his construction of the ark. And that's interesting to think about. Noah building an ark. You know, the people gathered around and they looked at Noah and they made fun of him and they said, Noah, what are you doing? Why are you building a big boat in the middle of the land? You're crazy. He said, well, God told me that a flood is coming. Really? You're spending your life building a huge boat for a flood that nobody sees? How ridiculous. Noah spent his life building based on the unseen. And I was thinking about that as a pastor. You know, my whole job as a pastor, my ministry is based on the unseen. A church like the Ark is based on the unseen, isn't it? You know, obviously we meet in this building. We spend money on this building. You know, we try to improve this building. We spend time working on this building. But even this building, why are we doing it? It's not because we're trying to make money. We're not going to sell this place. We're not going to rent it out and try to make a profit off of this. Even the tangible physical building that we meet in is just a meeting place for the spiritual, the unseen word of God being ministered. As a pastor, I find comfort in the fact that Noah spent his life building on the unseen. He didn't spend his time working on the seen, the visible reality, but he spent his time investing in that which is unseen. And that brings up the question for you and for me of what are we investing our lives in? What are we spending our time and energy and money on? Is it on the seen, the visible reality of this world, or are we spending our lives, investing our lives on the unseen, the promises of God, giving back? You know, we have a lot of ministry teams in this church. And as I look around, I see so many of you, I know that you're involved in ministry in our church. And I encourage you to get involved in ministry in one sense or another in this church. We have the children's ministry, a youth ministry. We, you know, Sunday morning worship team and the tech team. You know, we have our ministries that we've had for years and years. We have new ministries. You know, Myra's doing her fitness team. I'm sure that she would love to have help with that. The recovery ministry. I know Charles would love to have help with that. There's old ministries, there's new ministries. Maybe God's calling you to start something new here at Discovery. And the world would look and say, why are you wasting your time on that? That's just useless. It's worthless. Why would you spend your time on all that Bible stuff? But we know as Christians that as Noah spent his life, I tried to look up this week how long Noah spent building the ark, how long it took him to build the ark. It doesn't say. There's no verse in Genesis that says Noah built the ark this many years. I wound up most of the articles I read, they estimated it based, you know, 50 to 75 years. But think about that, 50 to 75 years. That's basically most of or an entire lifetime. So Noah literally spent his life building on the unseen, the future word of God. He didn't spend his time building on the visible reality, but on the future, that which God had proclaimed. And the irony is what? In the end, who was right? Those people that laughed at Noah, that said, you're crazy, what are you doing? Why are you spending your time building this stupid boat? Unfortunately, Noah was right. The one who spent his life working, building on the unseen, in the end, that was what lasted. That was what resulted in the salvation of the world. You know, I've been mentioning a book that I have been reviewing lately called Conformed to His Image. It's by Dr. Kenneth Boa. It's about spiritual formation, which just means spiritual growth. And actually, I mentioned a few weeks ago, he calls it paradigm spirituality. And he talks about two paradigms, the temporal paradigm and the eternal paradigm. A paradigm is just a perspective. It's the way you view the world. And most people in the world today, the default natural paradigm, perspective of the world, of course, is the temporal, right? Basically, hey, this world is all we have, so let's live it up, try to make the best of it, and then we die. But of course, the perspective, the life of faith, is the eternal paradigm. And that's the challenge as Christians, that we are to develop more and more, to live more and more of our lives according to this eternal paradigm, this eternal perspective of life in this world, and not according to the temporal. And here's a chart that Boa provides for us. He contrasts the values of the temporal paradigm with the values of the eternal paradigm. And the question for you and for me, you know, when we come to church on Sunday morning, is to remind ourselves we're not living according to the visible temporal things of this world. We're living according to, we're living for God and for His kingdom for eternity. And as we come to church, we're to ask ourselves, challenge ourselves, where's my time? Where's my energy? Where's my focus in this life, in this world? The temporal paradigm is to live for pleasure. It's to live for recognition from other people. It's to live for the popularity, for wealth, for status, for power. By contrast, the eternal paradigm, which the Bible teaches us, a life of faith, more important than pleasure and recognition is knowing God and receiving His approval. We seek to humble ourselves and to become servants. Jesus said that the first, if you want to be first, become the last. If you want to be the greatest, become the least of all. He turned the values of this world upside down. And we don't, first and foremost, seek after wealth, status, popularity in this world. Our highest goal is integrity and character, singleness of heart, pure devotion to God. And, you know, Boa talks about the irony is, you know, although the temporal paradigm, it seems to be so easy. It seems to be so real. There's such a strong attraction every week that draws us to try to live our lives according to the pleasure and the popularity and the wealth and the power of this world. And yet, in the end, the person who lives their lives according to this temporal paradigm is going to find that it's empty. Remember the message of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities. That word vanity can also be translated empty. Empty, emptiness of emptinesses. All is vanity. It's a chasing, it's a grasping, trying to catch the wind. Delusion. People that live their lives for this world get to the end of their life and realize, man, I was deceived. I thought that this carrot at the end of the stick was it, and then I finally got to it, and I bit into it, and it was empty. It wasn't what I thought it was. The result is this is a life of foolishness to live for the things of this world. By contrast, although it's difficult, it's a challenge to live our lives by faith in the things that we don't see, because we don't see it. Oftentimes we're tempted to doubt it, and yet when we choose to do what we know is right, to live by faith, the result is fulfillment, knowing that our lives are lived for God and for His eternal purposes. It's reality. The reality will come to bear when Jesus returns. We're going to see that the ultimate reality is not what we see, but it's what God has promised us. And it's wisdom. What does Proverbs say? The beginning of wisdom is the... Come on. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The Bible tells us that a wise life, living life skillfully, is living life according to this eternal paradigm. Seeking after God, a life of faith. So the question for you and for me is, what are you building your life on? On the seen, the visible reality of this world, or are you building your life on the unseen, the invisible reality? I skipped a scripture verse that I think is important. Paul talks about Christian ministry, and he says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart as we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Christian ministry is hard because so often it's invisible. You don't see at the end of the day the work of your hands. What did we do? It feels like we didn't do anything. And yet Paul says we don't lose heart because the seen, the visible reality of this world is passing away. It's temporal. But the unseen, when we give our lives, we build our lives on the unseen Word of God. That's actually what is true, what is real, what will last forever. So we don't lose heart when we invest our lives on the unseen reality of God. Well, the third aspect of Noah's faith that I see here I can leave that up in case anybody's taking notes, is that Noah's life was a testimony to the world. Noah's faith was a light shining in the midst of a dark world. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 7, "By faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." Because Noah spent his life building on the unseen, he not only saved himself, but his family. And it says that he condemned the world. Now, for us, of course, in our modern day and age, we think, oh, that sounds pretty negative. Like, was Noah going around with a sign, you know, God hates you, you're going to hell, you know, the end of the world is near? No, I don't think that's what the author is saying here. When he says that Noah condemned the world, it means that Noah, day in and day out, there's no evidence in the Bible that Noah was going around preaching to people. I think Noah was spending most of his time building that boat. I mean, it was like 500 feet long, you know, 50 feet high, 80 feet wide. I mean, that takes a while to build. But Noah was building this boat, and this boat was a testimony to the world. I can imagine that crowds would gather just watching and wondering, what in the world is this guy doing? What is this guy? But this ark was a visible testimony. It was a visible sermon to the world that judgment is coming. Destruction is coming. And I believe, it doesn't really say it very clearly in the book of Genesis, but I believe that if the people around Noah would have believed in Noah's word, if they would have said, yeah, I believe you, Noah, I believe the flood is coming, can I get on board? I believe that you know, God's, by his grace, would have said, yeah, let them on. The problem is that the people didn't believe. They saw the ark. That was the visible sermon to them every day. Destruction is coming. Let's get on board the ark. Let's be saved. But they did not believe. In Peter, it says that Peter calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. And again, I don't see any evidence in Genesis that Noah was walking around preaching. But again, by his faith, building this ark, it was a visible testimony of the judgment that was coming, of God's grace and mercy. You know, some people are upset with us as Christians. They say, you know, you Christians, you're narrow-minded because you only believe there's one way to God. You Christians, you know, you're pretty harsh, you're pretty judgmental because you talk about hell and judgment. But I think it's the opposite. The fact of the matter is that God has given us in advance. He's told us that there will be a judgment. God has told us in advance. He has sent his only son to save us. That's his ark. That's his method, his way of salvation. God has told us in advance of the way to be saved. So I don't see it as being judgmental and being harsh. I see it as God in his grace has shown us the way of salvation in advance. And so, you know, the world, even though the world thinks of us as being judgmental, being harsh, being narrow-minded because we believe in one way, I think it's the opposite. God has shown us the way. He has sacrificed his only son so that there is a way. And the question for you and for me is, you know, Noah, he responded to the unseen. He built his life on the unseen. And his life was a testimony of the reality of the unseen, the Word of God. And it reminds us that as Christians, we're called not merely to walk with the Lord, but also to live our lives as a testimony, as a light. You know, this last week we went to the rescue mission. And sometimes when I think about the rescue mission, I think to myself, well, I don't really want to go tonight, and maybe we should just stop doing this, you know. Because, I mean, let's face it, those kinds of people, homeless people, are not necessarily the number one people that we want to associate with, right? They're not the most fun people to be around, right? They're kind of strange. They smell. And yet, whenever I go, I'm just so blessed. When I leave, it's like, man, Lord, thank you so much that I went tonight. You know, we share the Word of God. We sing songs. We pray for people. We serve them food. And it's just such a blessing to my soul, and I see how it touches people. And the question for you and for me is, you know, The temptation is just to live for our own comfort, our own pleasure, what's good for us. But we're called to respond by faith in the unseen Word of God. We're called to build our lives on the unseen reality of the Word of God. And we're called to live our lives as a testimony, as a light in this world that testifies to the reality, to God, to Jesus' return. Are you ready for Him? Well, fourth and finally, and this is a very short point, notice the way that the author closes his discussion of Noah. Let's read Hebrews 11, verse 7 one more time. It says, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." The final thing that the author mentions about Noah's faith is that because Noah chose to respond to the unseen Word of God, to live his life, build his life upon the unseen Word of God, to live his life as a testimony to this world of the reality, the truth of the unseen Word of God, in the end, when Noah died, he became an heir of the righteousness by faith. Noah became a citizen of heaven. And so, a very short point, not much to say here, but again, we see here the truth of the gospel, that if we believe in Him, we walk by faith in Him in this life. We choose not to live for this world, but we choose to live for Him. That we too will become heirs of eternal life. In 1 Peter, we read a couple of verses after verse 5 this morning at the beginning of worship. But I love, this is one of my favorite passages. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We have a living hope because we have a living Lord. Amen? He's not dead. He's alive. So our hope is alive. It lives with Him. We have been born again through faith to a living hope, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. I love that. If you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have an inheritance. You're an heir, entitled to an inheritance in heaven, imperishable, undefiled, unfading, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in this last time. Isn't it great how in this one verse we just have a summary of faith, of Christianity? The whole Christian life is summarized in Hebrews 11, verse 7, in the life of Noah. It begins by choosing to respond to the unseen, by building our life on the unseen, being a testimony to the world of the Word of God, the unseen Word of God. And if we live this life by faith, we will become an heir of the righteousness of our heavenly inheritance. And so this morning, in closing, questions for us is, as we've said, the faith of Noah began with a response. The question is, have you chosen, have you responded to the unseen Word of God, the promise of God of salvation to those who believe? It's much easier to live our lives according to what we see, to what's tangible, to what's around us. But as Christians, we're called to choose to live according to faith, believing in the unseen Word of God. So have you chosen to live your life by faith in the unseen reality, the Word of God? Secondly, Noah spent his life building on the unseen. His faith was not merely an intellectual assent, conviction, but his life, day in and day out. Building the ark was building his life on the unseen. And we are called, as a pastor, my whole ministry is built on the unseen. It's based on a God that people don't see, a Jesus whom no one has ever seen physically, a Holy Spirit that lives in us that we don't see, hope in a heaven that we don't see. It's all based on the unseen, and yet that's what I'm staking my whole life on. That's what I spend my time and my energy. What paradigm are you living according to? We talked about the temporal and the eternal paradigms. What paradigm are you building your life on? Are you living according to the temporal paradigm of this world or the eternal paradigm, which is the life of faith? And practically, I'd encourage you to pray about how God wants you to be involved here in Discovery. That's a practical way to build, to help build this church. I'm not the only one building this church. We're all building it together as we serve, as God gives us talent and time and ability. How will you use your gifts, your talents, your time, your energy to help build this church? We said that number three, faith testifies to the world of the unseen. Noah's life was a testimony to everyone around him of the judgment that was coming. But you see, for the world around Noah, the judgment was destruction. And many of them probably cursed God when the flood came. But you see, for Noah, this destruction of the old world was actually salvation. Because for Noah and his family who believed, it was the beginning of a new life. And it's the same today. Many people think of Christianity as judgmental because we talk about judgment. We talk about, you know, heaven and hell. But in reality, for those who believe, it's not death, it's life. Amen? It's not condemnation, it's grace, it's mercy. God has shown us how we can be saved. And so our lives, do you live your life as a testimony to the world of the unseen, the Word of God? And finally, a great reminder that Noah became an heir of the new world through faith. And if we live our lives by faith, we can look forward. We have a living hope, a heavenly, eternal inheritance. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your word. And it's so amazing just to study your word, God. And I'm just amazed every week that, Lord, in your word, it's all in there. Even in this one verse, it's really a summary of the entire gospel, of the entire Bible, in the life of Noah. Lord, I pray if there's anyone in here who has not responded to the unseen. If you're here and you have not made a conscious decision to place your faith in a Savior that you haven't seen with your eyes in order to spend eternity in a heaven that none of us have seen, you want to choose today not to live your life according to the visible reality of this world anymore, but according to the invisible Word of God. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We're going to have people here at the front of the stage this morning, and they're just willing to pray for you. If you know the Lord and you have requests, come up and pray with them. If you're not sure that you're sure that you're sure that you are born again, that you are an heir of eternal life through faith in Christ, come on forward. Give your life to him this morning. And Father, for those of us who have already made that step, Lord, we thank you for the eternal inheritance that we can look forward to, this living hope, because we have a living Lord. But God, I pray that we would not choose to live our lives based on the temporal, the popularity, the fame, the wealth, the status, the power, prestige of this world, but that, Lord, we truly would live by faith, as Noah spent his life, day in and day out, building an ark based on the unseen word of God, that we would build our lives. Our lives would be built on the unseen reality of your word, Lord. I pray that you would show each and every one of us what that means. I know for myself as a pastor, that's what that means. But I know that that's not what it looks like for people in this room today. I pray that you would show each and every one of us what a life that is built on the unseen reality of your word looks like. I pray that more and more, knowing you, serving you, living with a pure, single heart, humbling ourselves, serving others, would become a higher and a higher priority, that you would increase and that this world would decrease in our hearts. And God, I pray that our lives would be a light and a testimony to this world of the truth, that we would be walking proof of the truth of your word, God. In Jesus' name, amen.